So as we heard earlier, Donna was not able to commit to being here this morning. So instead, we have our fellowship's president, Joanne Green, and the chair of the Sunday Service Committee, Helen Christensen, who have stepped in to fill our morning. So this is the time for the presentation.
This will be the third time I say good morning. You look familiar. You're starting to look familiar. Quite some time ago, we received, I don't know how many people received this. I know that I received it as Sunday Service Committee Chair, and you received it. This is the Canadian Unitarian Council Sharing Our Faith. And this is the 2014 version, and it said, "We hope this collection will be a valuable aid in preparing your Sharing Our Faith service, which is planned for June, but it's now today." So I think you're going to find out that this works out quite well for a chair of a Sunday Service Committee, for a Sunday Service Committee person, and for our president. So we've divided it up. So my name is now changed. My name is now Reverend Fiona Heath. And I am a minister in the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Durham in Whitby, Ontario. Okay, so when I say I, that's who I am, Fiona Heath. And this is called Carrying the Chalice, and it's a sermon that has been published. I was a stay-at-home mother and freelance writer for many years. If you want to be popular at parties, do not tell people that you are a stay-at-home mother. I quickly learned to lead with freelancer. However, I have now found that the greatest conversation killer at parties is telling people you are a minister. People sometimes look worried, as if I'm going to suddenly sing Onward Christian Soldiers. They straighten their backs and mentally review our conversation in case they swore. The well-meaning ones tell me about their grandmother, who still goes to church. But mostly, they just aren't interested. This doesn't surprise me. It saddens me, but it doesn't surprise me. Canada is an increasingly secular society. Religion is not so much disliked, but seen as a leftover relic from the days of Prime Minister Diefenbaker, like record players or playing hockey without helmets. Kind of cool in a retro, nostalgic way, but most definitely not the way we live now. And there is truth in that. We do live differently now. We aren't embedded in one community where we live and work and raise our families, where everyone looks pretty much the same. In this world, the local church was the central hub of community, caring for people from birth to marriage to death, living in a straight line between heaven and hell. Now, we are embedded in multiple communities in multiple ways. We live in a network of relationships that are greatly expanded by technology. Our lives aren't linear anymore. Our choices are complex. We don't need a single community hub because we have many communities. And we want to access them when we need them, not just on Sunday mornings. We now live in a vast web, in an infinite universe. Much of what churches used to offer, people find elsewhere, hanging out with friends, with trusted counselors through music and art, and the tools we use, cell phones, texting, Facebook, Twitter, have drastically changed how we access information and communicate with one another. But I am sure we need spiritual communities more now than ever. There is no other institution which considers the big picture, no other communal way to be together with a focus on the whole. For me, religion is a system for understanding the relationships between things. It is a framework of perception, providing a meaningful narrative which shapes how we interact with others. It is the bigger story within which we tell our own stories. And I am convinced, indeed, it is why I became a minister, that the perspective of Unitarian Universalism is the one we need, right here, right now. There are so many people yearning for more out of living. They just don't know where to find it or how to find it. Whether they call themselves spiritual but not religious, or atheist and spiritual, they are seeking a place where they can explore their fears and confusions, express their hopes and dreams. They aren't seeking answers from above and aren't willing to accept ones at odds with scientific knowledge. They want to explore questions of meaning and purpose in community, whether that is online, in a bar, or on a Sunday morning. They want their lives to matter, to belong to something larger than themselves. Our way of being in the world resonates with these seekers. We offer a way to explore life's immensity, to stand in awe together before the universe unfolding. They need us and don't know it. Small as we are easily missed. It can be hard to hear our signal amidst all the media noise. We are also young for a religious tradition. Although you can see the beginnings of both Unitarianism and Universalism in the early Christianity of 2,000 years ago, we are less of a mature plantation and more of a freshly seeded garden. The merging of Unitarianism and Universalism took place just over 50 years ago. Our chalice symbol dates back to World War II, but only came into common use in the 70s. Our newest ritual, the January Fire Communion, is barely 10 years old. We are still integrating our Unitarian, Universalist, and humanist ancestry in a meaningful way and learning language that expresses our particular perspective of mystery and kindness and connectedness. There is much patient work to be done for us to truly bloom. Our leaves are still unfurling, but the potential is there, waiting to flower into glory. It just needs tending. Students of history say you can tell what is important to a society by looking at its biggest buildings. The ancients of Great Britain built Stonehenge as a memorial to their ancestors, as a celebration of the cycles of the seasons. We don't know. The Egyptians built the pyramids as testaments to the god status of their pharaohs. Medieval Europeans built vast cathedrals to worship God. Downtown Toronto is filled with pinnacles celebrating business and commerce, and crowned by the CN Tower, the ultimate tourist experience. And here she's talking about Whitby, but it could be Regina as well. Around here, big box stores and shopping malls trumpet the almighty consumer, while luxury condos and big fitness centers elevate the individual. Business, tourism, consumerism. The individual. All these focal points are great ways to generate wealth, but all are terrible ways to generate meaning. Watch advertising anywhere for more than 5 minutes, and you begin to believe the purpose of life is to have white teeth. But we know deep down we are more than individual consumers, and that there is a greater bottom line than wealth. Unitarian Universalism is a different and better understanding of how we are in the world. We offer a challenging vision of respect for all beings and a radical understanding of the interrelated web of life. Our way of being is a way of collaboration and community. It is a way of hope. It is a way worthy of sharing, worthy of great care and dedication. And now Fiona's going to be somebody else.
I want to retell a story I'm sure most of you have heard before, or some version of it, because it speaks so well to what it means to have a vision. Almost 800 years ago in England, a traveler to Salisbury happened upon a large group of workers working a pile of stones beside an empty field. He watched them as they went about their physical labor. Curious, he moved towards the man closest to him. "My dear fellow," he said, "what is it that you are doing?" The man continued his work, not looking up, and grumbled, "I am cutting stones." Realizing that the mason did not wish to engage in conversation, the traveler moved towards another man working nearby and asked again, "What is it that you are doing?" To the traveler's delight, this time the man stopped his work and announced, "I am a stone cutter." The mason stretched his back, grimacing. "I cut each stone precisely and exactly. It's hard work, but I do it well, though I'll be glad when it's done and I can get on home." The traveler thanked the second mason and, still a curious man, decided to ask one more worker his question. "What is it that you are doing?" This time the mason paused and looked skyward, smiling. "I am building a cathedral." He continued, "People from all over England will come here to worship. It is to be a place of sanctuary and hope. It won't be completed in my lifetime, but the future depends on my doing this work well. If these stones are not cut just right, the cathedral will not stand." And he went back to his great work. Imagine if we all felt like our lives were dedicated to something like building a cathedral. Instead of saying we collect garbage, we can say we make our city more beautiful, or we look after that which no one else wants. What if we could understand ourselves in the context of the greater whole? Know that we are contributing to a grand vision of a better world. When we believe that our lives are making a profound difference to the others, to the future, anything is possible. It is the soaring imagination that gives our lives meaning. You may be simply cutting stones into squares, but you can still be creating something magnificent. To know that we have made a contribution to the greater whole satisfies our spirits. It gives us a firm place to stand when the storms of life are blowing strong. When we question the value of our lives, knowing that we are creating a cathedral makes all the difference. Here in Regina, it may look like we are simply hanging out on a Sunday morning, but we are also building our own cathedral, all of us together. Each of us, whether we are playing a role or offering the gift of presence, are part of this grand and audacious exercise in meaning-making. Our Unitarian Universalist Cathedral will look very different than the Gothic Salisbury Cathedral in the story. The lives we lead as Unitarian Universalists here and now, the work we do together, these are the foundations for the generations who come after us. This is a cathedral made not from cement and glass, but from hospitality and care. The walls are shaped by the stories and songs of our chalice tradition, made stronger each time we tell them anew. I'm going to just read this word even though I don't, it's not one for me. This is a temple open to the universe, which celebrates the ever-unfolding mystery based in the knowledge of the interconnectedness of life. This is a cathedral worthy of our energy and dedication. The part each of us may do may be small, but it all matters. Every stone well made creates a solid foundation. And on these foundations, our temple will offer hope for the seekers of today and the generations to come. One of the aspects of Unitarian Universalism which first drew Reverend Fiona Heath was the chalice symbol. She loved that the symbol of the community was a living, flickering flame cupped in a beautiful container. I love that as a candle or with oil, it needs to be renewed. It needs care and attention. We often speak of ourselves as a living tradition, and I see the flaming chalice as perfectly embodying that livingness. The light flickers, grows stronger or dimmer, responds to the movement surrounding it, and needs oxygen just like us. Just as Unitarian Universalism changes and evolves, so does the flame. The chalice light is a symbol of the spark of life within all beings, of the spark of life on this little blue planet in this great big universe. We are the people of the chalice. As we build our cathedral, we also tend the flame of the chalice. The light of our chalice guides the work of our hands and hearts, helping us to see clearly the meaning of our lives. Unitarian Universalism says each of us matters, that each of us is welcome just as we are, that we are whole and holy beings, embedded in a whole and holy universe. Our tradition offers hope without hell. We offer a world of belonging, of connection, of relationship, not just with one another, but with all beings. We are called to be in community with one another, working through difficulties with respect and compassion. We are called to strive for justice and an end to oppression. To live all of this out in our daily lives is a challenge. But that challenge, to live this vision of a nurturing life, life-enhancing way of being, is one of most worthy of our time and dedication. And all this is me talking too. I believe we have a message worth hearing. I believe that we have a path people want to walk. I believe that the world needs our spiritual community. My deepest hope is that you believe this too. Let us carry the chalice with pride. May its shining light remind us of the worth of the work we do together and blaze brilliantly as a beacon of hope, guiding those in need to our welcoming arms. May it be so. Thank you, Helen, for stepping in. Now, the original version of the Sharing Our Faith Sunday was also to have a special collection for contributions to a fund that makes donations to fellowships and churches all across Canada. With short notice, we just didn't get that organized, but I hope that we do soon. People have any questions or comments or anything they'd like to share about this? Yes, we have lots of time, as Helen says. You should go. Helen thinks because I'm the president, I might have more to say, but I doubt it.
No. Thank you again. No. My question is with regard to the concept of being perfect, that the mason is going to do perfect stone to build this particular cathedral. My understanding or my feeling, maybe that could be a fact, but nobody is perfect. And if we want to build a better humanity, then we have to accept who we are for what we are. Because perfection means, to my understanding, that there is a standard that we have to match. So what is a perfect perfection? Some people have tried over the centuries, and we saw what it meant. So it's a different concept.
That's kind of interesting, Bruno, because the words don't actually say perfect. They actually say precise and exact, but they don't say perfect. But you have a good point that we can't, none of us are perfect, and we're trying to strive to accept each other as we are. And I, for one, find that coming here and thinking about these ideas with everyone else here really helps me, because I know that I can, lots of people know that I like to strive for perfection, Wayne especially. And it's not possible. You're right.
Is this all working? Have I got it in the right place? Oh, okay. I intend to be buried out of this building. And I would like it. My brother had 7 kids, and they've all had kids. So we'll at least be as many as the Unitarians, I think. And I would appreciate it if you do perhaps a shorter version, but something appropriate for then that's based on what you just said.
Well, that's great. Hopefully it's not for some time yet.
You can go. This is kind of a mixed story. My daughter Jennifer, you know, is a doctor, but I think she's a little weary of it. I think she does a hell of a good job, but she is interested in buying our farm. And the motivation is, this is where the mixed part comes. She is worried about the planet and desertification and parts of the world unable to grow food and so forth. So, and she really loved growing up on the farm. And so she sees her future contribution growing potatoes so that the world has potatoes to eat, which, like I say, it's mixed because she's concerned about where we're going, but on the other hand, she sees the contribution that she can make. So
I found it interesting and perhaps humorous in part of... I don't know, I can't remember now if it was Helen's section or Joanne's, but about the temples for capitalism, the big spires in the big cities and our twin towers in Regina. So we're sort of all part of that, aren't we? But I'm wondering if, I'm not sure we are clear on what our principles are, but we're not that clear on what our cathedral is in terms of community. Like, what do we want as Unitarians in terms of how we relate to the larger community and, in fact, to each other?
This is one of the things that we were thinking about when we looked at this originally. We didn't have time to plan for this today, but I think that it would probably be a good thing if one of these days we take the time to talk about why we're here and where we're going. I can share something very quickly with you, and it's, you know, very succinct at this point, is I know why I'm here. I believe in giving space, deliberate space, for different aspects of my life that are important. So this is on Sundays, or when I come here, this is when I drop everything else and make space for my spiritual self and my spiritual growth.
Actually, you'll see in the next chalice, which should be out shortly, I've kind of answered that question for me, interestingly enough. So, and it's partly based on an old story from Edmonton in 1961, which will be in this, in the chalice. So you make sure you read that president's column. Don't just file it.
Today,
it's interesting that we ended up doing this today, because I think in a way we all, as Unitarians, we kind of struggle about, well, why are we here? You know, it's not easy to pin down. We're not here worshiping something. We're not here following a prescribed path. So it's much harder to figure out the whys of how of why we're here, I think. And so, but for me, it really is important to have that, a group of people that aren't going to say, oh my God, you don't believe this, you're going to hell, boy, you're just damned for eternity. And, you know, fortunately, none of you say that. So, thanks.